And God is telling us that the bridge is out. There's trouble. There's judgment coming. And He loves us enough to warn us. And so this morning, the warning is very specific. It's a warning of the danger of spiritual immaturity. The danger of spiritual immaturity. And what we're going to see here in a moment, the writer is going to tell us the reason of spiritual immaturity is laziness. Spiritual laziness. We just don't, it's not an intellectual problem really. It's a heart problem. We just don't give the attention to God and the things of God. We put it in coast mode and we're headed right to the bridge that is out, the danger that's coming. And so this morning, we're going to look in the scriptures together in Hebrews 5. Apostasy is a word that we're going to be talking about, especially next time. Apostasy means giving up on Jesus, falling away completely, turning your back on the faith and proving that you were never a genuine believer. It's possible to pray a prayer, Lord, I give you my life, but there not be any repentance. There not be any work of the Spirit of God. You can pray 1,000 prayers and not be made alive by God. Apostasy is something none of us would think we would ever do. None of us wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll give up on the faith today. I think I'll turn my back on God and, you know, just live a life that ends up in judgment and hell. None of us think that. But what the writer is telling us, the first step to falling away is becoming lazy in the things of God. And I think that God has brought us here together. I believe that you are here. It's not an accident. God brings a warning this morning to not be lazy, forgetful of the things of God. And I pray that He would let the dry bones come alive this morning. Amen? That He would build that fire in us. And so here in Hebrews 5, verse 11, we start our reading. And He was just talking about Jesus, our high priest, and here's where He makes His pause. He transitions here. He says, about this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Remember that phrase, dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. The basics of Christianity 101. You need someone to teach you again. Verse 13, you need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. Are you skilled in God's word? Wow. We're going to come to that in a second. But solid food, or since he is a child, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so our first thing that we want to look at is just a caution, a warning, and he's talking about prolonged spiritual immaturity. And as I said a moment ago, final apostasy, in other words, falling away from the faith, giving up on Jesus, starts, he says, some of you know the big warning is in chapter 6. By the way, when I looked up, when I began to study Hebrews, you start looking up what other pastors have preached on Hebrews. When you get to chapter 6, a lot of them have no sermon there. No one likes to preach Hebrews 6. And we're really going to get into that part next time. That's a difficult passage. But what I want to show us today is he's setting us up for the difficult passage by saying it starts with immaturity. Whatever conclusion you reach on falling away in Hebrews 6, verse 4 and following, you see in the context, he starts off by saying, hey, you end up falling away when you first start to get lazy with the things of God. As we've seen here, he says it's a failure to grow up in the things of God. So, back in chapter 2, he worded it this way. He said, we don't need to neglect this great salvation and drift away from God. Remember I said no one gets up and just runs away from Jesus usually. Apostasy is not a blowout. It's a slow leak. Falling away from the faith is a slow leak. It starts with that fire that you used to have starting to fade. The things that you used to do because you love the Lord, you start to neglect those things. How will we escape, he said in chapter 2, if we neglect a great salvation? Neglect. Drift. You see, these are words of laziness. These are words of just, you know, not, it's letting our guard down and not running after the Lord. It's God's will for us to do two things, to be born and then to grow up. Physically, we know this is true. You're born and then you grow up. You're born as a baby and then you begin to mature into an adult. If there's nothing wrong, if there's no problems, you become a mature adult. The same is true spiritually. You're born again through a mighty working of God in your heart. When you see your sins, when God awakens you and you see, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner before a holy God. I deserve His judgment. But then He shows you the cross. And the Holy Spirit shows you the love of God for sinners that was poured out on the cross. And you believe. That is the moment you come alive. That's the moment you are born again. The Scripture uses that terminology. And then the rest of the New Testament kind of gives us this idea that after you're born, you grow up. The problem comes, we have churches full of people, Christians and pastors who are born again, and we get lazy and we fail to grow up. We prolong our infancy. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that's a big deal. If you prolong your infancy, you go on to finally prove that you never really had the true thing. It was just a prayer you prayed, but the Lord God was not in it. Let me show you a couple of passages in the Scripture that show us God's will for us to grow up. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory." Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says that the Lord gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then shepherds or pastors and teachers. God gave leadership to the church. Why? Why are there leaders in the church? Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You see, maturity and growth. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How long do we need to grow up, you ask? And he says, until we get to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. Look at the words here. No longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Can you stop for a second? What he's saying is, when you don't grow up into maturity in Christ, you become susceptible to false doctrines, false teachings that will lead your soul away. You won't have the discernment to recognize these dangerous things. We see this in the Christian world today, you know, books that are written with and just lies of the enemy that come to us, and we don't have the discernment to realize it because we're infants, because we haven't been growing up into maturity. And he says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, that's the church, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There's lots of passages like that we could look at. It's God's will for you to be born as a Christian and then to grow up strong and mature so that you're discerning and wise in the things of God and you're able to recognize the dangers, the attacks that are out there from the enemy, from the world, from our own flesh. Now, as we just looked at Hebrews in this passage, a few phrases stood out to me this week. I want to point them out. First is dull of hearing. He said, I want to teach you guys about Jesus being our high priest, but I got a problem. The teacher has a problem. What's the problem? The students have become dull of hearing. What does the word dull or the phrase dull of hearing mean? It means lazy, careless, sluggish, slothful. It means they're slow to understand. That comes from Strong's. And so other Bible translations translate this phrase to bring that out. The New Living Translation says, since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. The NIV says, since you are no longer trying to understand. And finally, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, you are too lazy to understand. You see, all of these Bible translations are trying to bring out this same point that somewhere along the path, you stop listening to God. It was just too much. I'm bored with God. I'm bored with the things of God. I'm distracted by other things. And I fail to grow up. A lot of times it's the church leadership's fault. We don't lead people and disciple people. We give them a prayer to pray, and they become a baby forever. We've got to grow up. But he says there's a problem. We're dull of hearing. Now, faith comes by hearing God's word. It's in Romans 10, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So if we're dull of hearing, there's a problem. Faith is not going to grow. The other phrase that stood out to me, and this is not a phrase that was in the text, but it's what the text is talking about, big babies. He calls these guys a bunch of big babies. And remember, he's not slashing these guys because he's got a problem with them. He's not a jerk. This is a loving warning because these Jewish Christians, the Hebrews, are about to give up on Jesus forever. And this pastor is concerned, and he's writing the book of Hebrews to them and to us. And he's calling us, don't give up on Christ. Pursue him. Don't let the fire die down. Don't put your guard down. He calls these guys big babies. He says, by this time you ought to be teachers. That means they're not new converts. They've been Christians for a long time. They ought to be teaching others. They ought to be making disciples by this time. But he says, you need somebody to bring you a bottle and give you a little passy and a blankie and sing you to sleep. And so he's kind of getting their attention. He's slapping them around a little bit in love, saying, wake up. Look at the condition you're in and repent. Paul had to do that with a church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He had to get his passy out for them. And here's what he said to them. But I, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not yet ready. For you are still of the flesh. Look at that. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? You see, the church at Corinth, they were fighting against each other over their favorite preachers. I like Paul. Not me. I like Apollos. I like Peter. And then the real spiritual ones, I like Jesus. And so, yeah, okay. And so they're fighting and dividing. He says, you're acting like a bunch of children. Church, we have a Savior. Our focus should be on Him, and we have a mission to build one another up and to take this gospel out. We don't have time to play in the nursery, right? When souls are perishing, when marriages are being ripped apart, when lives are hurting, and we can't do anything about it because we're babies a lot of time. And again, I'm not preaching down at you. I give this warning to myself. I'm calling all of us to heed God's word. Amen? So let's take whatever the Spirit of God is given to us this morning. So let me bring this out. When adults act like babies, there's a problem. You ever known anyone, an adult, who acts like a baby? When adults act like a baby, there's a problem. Now, it's normal for a baby to cry when he's hungry, right? Mothers, can you vouch for me there? Parents, dads, right? When a baby is hungry, all they can do is cry and sometimes scream if you're not quick enough. But let's say a 30-year-old man, every time he's hungry, just begins to cry and scream until someone brings him food. I see there's a couple giggles. That's funny because that's a problem, right? Some of you may be giggling because your spouse does that. I don't know. There's a problem. That's not normal. There may be developmental problems, right? And I'm not making fun of that. But if everything is working properly, an adult should not act like a baby. But sadly, that had become a problem with these guys, and we see it everywhere in churches today. Rather than pursuing the things of God and growing up in Christ, we have people who have been believers for years acting like babies, acting like the world. Like Paul said to the Corinthians, you're jealous of each other, you're fighting, you're acting like a bunch of kids, not like Jesus. Then he kind of takes this scalpel here and he keeps digging. Man, some of you guys, did you wear your steel-toed boots this morning? Am I meddling a little bit? Have I gone on from preaching and now I'm meddling? I don't know. It's in here. All right, it's in here. I got to preach it. So the next phrase I want us to look at is unskilled in the word. In chapter 5, verse 13, he said, everyone who lives on just milk, okay, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's the word of God, the gospel, the things of God. He says, by this time, they ought to be teachers. Most commentators are quick to bring out, he's not saying that every Christian should be a teacher in the church or a pastor. God doesn't call every Christian to the office of teacher. But what is he saying? He's saying by this time, after you've been a Christian for a while, you ought to be able to, you know, take a new believer and show them the basics, right? Show them the ropes. Teach them the ABCs. And he says, instead of being helpful to other Christians, you need your Sunday school teacher to come back to you and teach you your alphabet, the elementary doctrines, the basics, all over again. So they should be able to fully understand the truths of Jesus and teach these basics after a while. And so we get into a problem here. The first is biblical ignorance. I was reading a pastor, Richard Phillips, and he was lamenting at the immense, the vast biblical ignorance of our culture today. We all would agree with that, probably. You know, you take a Bible quiz to the man on the street, not going to do too well, probably. But he looked at some statistics, and these are old statistics, 1999. It's worse by now. But in 99, he was citing some statistics of people who go to church and profess to be evangelical Christians. Half of them, most of them, could not name half of the Ten Commandments. Could you name 5 out of 10, the Ten Commandments? Could you name all 4 of the Gospels? They could not describe biblical concepts of like justification by faith, which is just salvation. They couldn't identify biblical characters like Abraham or Paul. And in one study in particular, he was lamenting at the sad state of the church. 80% of those who took the quiz thought that this phrase came from the Bible. Are you ready? God helps those who help themselves. That's actually Ben Franklin who said that. 80% of churchgoers in 99 who took this study or was in this study said that God helps those who help themselves was in the Bible. Now, these same people said that the Bible is the Word of God. We just don't know what it says. Right? We believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I just don't study it. Does that make sense? If you're a Christian, if you believe that God has spoken through His Word, it's a shameful thing for us to be ignorant of God's truths. To remain unhelpful. We don't know the Word of God. But we do know other things. It's not that we're a bunch of dummies. We can quote other things, just not the Word of God. Oh, we're full of sports statistics, movie quotes. You know, there's nothing wrong with those things, but we replace God's word with pop culture, who's dating who. We could tell it all. Gossip and, you know, the latest fashions or even your favorite recipes. We aren't dummies. We're full of information, but we have not studied the word of God. We're not passionate about knowing our God. You know how you know God? He has revealed himself in his word, which points us to his son, Jesus. The whole book of Hebrews, in fact, if you want to check me out on this, you can just look to chapter 1, verse 1. This whole book is about God speaking. God has revealed himself, right? I mean, he comes out of the chute swinging. He says, long ago, Hebrews 1:1, long ago God spoke to Israel, our fathers, through the prophets. But now, in these last days, what? God has spoken to us through his Son. In other words, God has given us the gospel of Jesus, and it's the full and final word from God. It's all that he wants us to know to come and be his. To take that important word and find it boring, it's an indictment against us. We have worldly minds. We filled our minds with things other than the scriptures. John Calvin said, we apply our minds to vanity rather than to God's truth. Wow. The result is we have no discernment. We don't know truth, so we drink in the latest spiritual fashions of the day. Go to the Christian bookstores and look, and the books that are popular, there's no classics, there's no theology. There's a couple of those. It's all about how my marriage can be better, how my money, you know, how principles for this, principles for that. We have no foundation of truth, and so we get shallow things that we drink right up. And the result is that we're not useful in the church. A sad state or a sad result of our state of biblical ignorance is that we can't build each other up in the church because we don't know God's word. We don't have anything of substance to say to each other. And so we'll hire a pastor to speak to all of us at one shot because I don't know what I would say to somebody to build them up, right? This is a sad state of affairs that God wants to call us out of. Back in Hebrews 3:13, a few weeks ago we looked at this. Every member of the church was called, he says, but exhort one another, build each other up, warn each other every day. In other words, members of a church family are called to help each other fight the poison of unbelief. We are called to remind each other of the gospel every day to help each other not fall away from the faith. Every one of us in Christ has that call. You're not maybe a pastor or maybe not a missionary, but you are called to build up your church family. Wherever God plants you, you have people there to build up. The sad thing is, he says that we're not useful in the church because we don't know the word. We are ignorant of the Bible. We are unskilled in the word. Mickey and I, our other elder in this church, Mickey and I were talking recently. He listened to a sermon by a pastor named Vody Baucom. And he was talking about these same things. He had a couple helpful things I wanted to mention. He said, imagine a bricklayer, or just choose a job, an occupation. Imagine there's a bricklayer. Let's say he's been a bricklayer for 30 years. And the new guy on the job site, just hired, rookie, he comes up to him and says, man, you've been doing this for 30 years. Can you help me? Can you show me the ropes? Imagine that bricklayer looking at him and saying, well, I don't know anything about bricklaying. You know, that would not be acceptable in any profession. Only in the church do we let that kind of stuff happen. I've been a Christian, been sitting in the church for 30 years. I can't tell someone the basics of the gospel. This is the cause, man, of ultimately falling away. You don't lay down that foundation and grow up in Christ, sooner or later those storms are going to come and knock us down, right? We got to be strong. We got to grow up in the Word. Vody Baucham also said, he was commenting on in the church, whenever, every now and then there'll be a young man in the church, maybe a youth, you know, 18 years old or 19, and they get fired up for God and they start studying the Bible. What does the rest of the church say when that young man gets fired up? Oh, I guess God's called him to preach. Let's send him to seminary. Why is that not the norm for every man and woman in the church to be fired up for the things of God? Why is it so? I mean, why, when we see someone fired up for God's word, must it be an irregular thing? Oh, let's send them to seminary. Man, every man in this church, every woman ought to be fired up over the word of God, diving deep in it, digging in, reading it, and studying it. All right. This point, I think we felt it. I think we felt the weight of this. Let's continue on. Guys, let me just feed yourselves God's word. My job is to feed you when we gather on Sundays. But do you just eat once a week physically? You need to feed yourself. If you're a baby, you have to have someone feed you, right? That's not bad. It's okay if you're really a baby. But again, if you're an adult and you need someone to come spoon feed you, there's a problem. Feed yourself God's word. Feed yourself. Think on the things of God. All right, so the next part of the section here, and I promise we'll move faster there, it's a call to pursue Christian maturity. He doesn't just slap us in the face with the 2x4 and say, you're a bunch of big babies. He now calls us out of that. Here's your condition. Now leave that condition, repent, and let's grow up together. If you would, read the text with me. It's the first three verses of chapter 6. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation. And now he's going to list some examples of the basics. Are you ready? Repentance from dead works. And faith toward God, and instruction about washings or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do. What will we do? We will leave the basics and grow up into maturity if God permits. So look with me, this call to pursue Christian maturity. First, he's calling us to move beyond the basics. Let's leave the basics and graduate into maturity. Let's grow up in our understanding of God's truth. Let's think more deeply in our theology, leading us to know God better and love Him more. The more you learn about God, the more you love Him, because He is beautiful. It is a sin to find God boring. It's a lie about God. At God's right hand, Psalm 16:11 says, our pleasures forevermore. God is a glorious God, and we were made to know Him. You and I were created to know Him and enjoy Him forever. Sin has messed that enjoyment of God up. Sin is when you satisfy your soul with something other than God. That is the essence of idolatry. When you are satisfying your soul with other things besides God. And what Christ does, He died for those sins and rose again. And His Spirit shows us that, wakes us up, and removes those hindrances to enjoying God. So that we can now not have to satisfy ourselves with lesser things. We can look to God and be restored to Him. Don't you want that? Does your heart crave to know and enjoy the God who made you? That's possible in Jesus. Some of you, if you're realizing this morning, if God is showing you that you've not grown up to maturity, if you would say, you're right, man, I couldn't name the apostles. I don't know anything about the truths of God. I couldn't explain to someone the difference between salvation by grace and the work system, then listen this morning. God is calling you to not just keep laying a foundation, the basics, but to grow up. He said, let's not lay again the foundation of the basics. Now, again, Calvin has a helpful illustration here. Suppose you're building a house. Suppose RJ, he's construction, right? He goes to the job site and he says, "What are we doing today?" And they say, "We're laying the foundation today." He said, "All right, man, let's do it. Let's get the forms built up. Let's pour the cement. Good to go. Go home." The next day, he comes to the job site again. "Boss, what are we doing today?" "Well, we're going to lay the foundation again." "All right, let's dump that cement on top of the cement we did yesterday." "Next day, what are we doing today?" "Well, let's lay that foundation one more time." Right. Calvin says you never leave the foundation, but it would be ridiculous to keep laying it, right? To keep trying to put that foundation down. When we come to Christ, these basics of the faith, we never leave those basics, but we grow up in them. Does that make sense? You're not laying a new foundation. Sometimes you try to do that. You say, "Well, the gospel is how I get saved, but now I'm looking for something else." And you try to lay a new foundation. No, you ground yourself in the gospel, but you grow up in it. The gospel is both milk for the babies and it's meat for the men and the women. The gospel can go down as deep as you can handle. These things, it ages and it grows and we get wise. You read the Bible every day for 80 years and you can't exhaust it. There's more. God is alive and He speaks to us in these things. And so He calls us to grow up. He gave us an example of six basic teachings. Did you see those? This is our elementary school. The first one is repentance. I'll just talk real briefly about each one. What is repentance? These are the basics. Do you know repentance is the first word of the gospel? It's the first thing God calls us to do. When you realize you're a sinner, you hear that God sent His Son to die for your sins, the first thing God calls you to do is repent. We get in trouble a lot of times when we tell people to become a Christian and we give them things to do that aren't in the Bible. Like, "Here, say this prayer after me and you'll be saved." You know, a prayer is great, but if you don't repent, it's just words. You know how many prayers I prayed before God saved me? I don't either. It was a lot. It all the time. And then that was that one morning when it was all new. It was all fresh. God showed me. He showed up. And it was all different. That's what you need. You need the power of God coming and showing you that you're a sinner. You say, "Well, I know I'm a sinner." Yeah, everybody's a sinner, right? But when you see that it's different, it's not just everybody's a sinner, man. No, I have sinned against the Holy God. I'm in trouble. When you feel the weight of that, repentance says you turn away from your sin towards God. Repentance is a turning. It's 180 degrees. You were going this way, and you turn around now. It's when God brings that sorrow over your sin, and you confess it to God, and you stop justifying it, and you start agreeing with God about how bad your sin is. See, God's not cruel, but before He builds us up, He has to tear us down. Has He done that to you? It's a loving thing that He does. Repentance is that new heart as we turn away from sin. The next one goes with it. By the way, these six things, these six basics come in groups of two. Commentators point that out. They come in groups of two. Repentance and faith. What's faith? Putting your faith on a new car? You're on TV. Is that what it is? Faith is, okay, if I'm repenting and if I'm turning away from my sin, faith is what I'm turning to. I'm turning away from sin in repentance. I'm turning to God. Faith has an object, and the object is Christ. Faith is, I am believing what God has done for my sin. Because after He breaks me down and shows me the condition of my heart, He then shows me how much He loves me and what He's done to save me. That He sent His Son, that Christ became a man. Like us, He put on flesh so that He could live a life and experience pain like we experience. So that He could obey God for us. And so that He could be nailed to a cross for us. And stand in our place and face the judgment of God for us. Faith is when you trust what God has done in Christ. When you believe Him. Faith and repentance are two sides to one coin called conversion. They don't come without the other. you repent and you believe. By the way, that's what Jesus and John the Baptist preached. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time has come, the time is fulfilled. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and believe in the gospel. That's Jesus' message. Repent from sins and believe in the Lord. Believe in the gospel. This third one, though, throws us off a little bit because it's in the plural. And that drives commentators crazy. You guys may not have fun reading commentaries, but if you want, dive in here on this verse. See them kind of wrestle with this. It's a basic, but why did the guy put a plural here? Instructions about washings or baptisms? Well, I'll save you the trouble of all the fighting through the commentaries. Most of these scholars believe that what he's talking about is, remember, these were Jewish Christians, Jewish believers. Judaism had lots of washings, rituals, ceremonial washings. And most guys believe he's talking about instructions about how baptism, Christian baptism, is different from the Jewish washings. And so this is just Christianity 101. God washes us. God purifies our souls because of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. And we picture that with water baptism. We've seen that this morning already, twice. What a blessing that is. You know, it's not those waters that save us, but it's baptism is outwardly showing what God has done inwardly, right? Because you wouldn't even step in the waters if you didn't believe. And so God does that work of repentance and faith, and then you follow Him, and you go down in the water and you come up, and you show that I'm a new creation, that God has washed me. All right, the laying on of hands that goes with baptism. The early church would lay their hands on new Christians at the time of baptism. It symbolized the Holy Spirit coming into their lives. And so God comes into our lives in the person of His Spirit. And He gives us power to grow up and not remain babies. The Holy Spirit leads us to read our Bibles and to worship God, to obey the things that we're reading, to pray. The Holy Spirit leads us, and we still lay hands on people today, and we pray for healing. We lay hands on the men that we set aside as pastors in the church and people that we send out as missionaries. These are basics of Christianity. The last two, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Christianity 101, God is going to raise the dead in incorruptible bodies, and those who are in Christ will live in His presence forever. But those who have rejected God and clinged to their sin will face eternal judgment. That's not something that's fun, but that's one of the basics of Christianity listed by the author. Does anybody talk about eternal judgment anymore? It's listed here as one of the ABCs. There is a day coming when God will judge all people. Because He's good, He has to hate sin. Because He's a good judge, He can't take a bribe. The only way to escape the judgment is to look to the one that God judged for us, Jesus Christ. He took our hell on the cross. He took the wrath of God that was against each one of us rightly because of our sin, and Jesus drank the cup. He drained it dry of all the punishment that was to come on you and I. He drank that. He took that for us that we could be forgiven. And this last verse, it just says, we will do this. We will grow up if God permits. That's just saying, hey, God is in control of my growing up into maturity. It's our job to grow up as we read, as we study, as we pray, as we obey. But no growth is going to come unless God grants it. Paul says to the Corinthians, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And so what do you do this morning? You've heard this message. Amen, brother. See you next time. Has the Lord gotten your attention through the words here in the Scriptures? Can I ask you an honest question? If you're a professed believer, are you growing up in Christ or are you drifting from Him? There's no middle ground. Are you growing up into maturity? Being useful in the church, telling others, teaching others, making disciples? Are you growing up in Christ? Are you learning in His Word? You got a hunger to hear His word preached, to believe it, to know Him more? Or is it, you know, it's something I do on Sundays? It's just a thing that I do. And I don't know your heart, but God does. You don't even know your heart completely. David had to pray, Lord, search me and know my heart. I could deceive myself. But God, You know. You know the condition of our souls before You. So, brothers and sisters, can I just encourage you to think on these things today and in the days ahead? God loves us so much that He warns us that we would not become spiritually lazy and put Christ on the back burner. Yeah, I'll think about that one day. We don't know how many days we have. And we don't want to waste our life. Even if we knew the day that we would die, would we really want to waste our lives on other things and then give our life to the Lord on our deathbed? Isn't He worthy of our lives poured out for Him? The one who created us. The one who loves us. The one who gave His Son for us. You know He wants you. He's calling you through His word this morning. The word is alive. This word was written a long time ago, but the Holy Spirit is alive and He breathes on this word. And He's calling you. Don't live a mediocre life for the Lord. Right? Why do we give God the bare minimum when He's worthy of all? Are you giving Him the bare minimum? Just enough to cover your bases. Just enough to check it off your chart. Isn't He worthy of it all? Let me answer that for you. Yes, He is worthy of your life poured out as a living sacrifice. Recently, the elders of our church sent out a letter to every member of our church. We sent out a copy of our church covenant and our statement of faith. Why? Because we read things like this. And we look around and we know we're going to answer to God for the souls of the sheep that we lead. You guys aren't our people. You're God's people, right? And He's called us to shepherd you well. We asked you to prayerfully work through that document, the church covenant that says what we promise to do for each other. And the statement of faith, the basics of what we believe. And now we've come to it in our teaching on Sunday morning. Do you know the basics of the faith? Can you walk through that thing with your family? Man, if you need help, the first step is admitting I'm still a baby. I've been a Christian a long time, and I ought to be a lot farther down the road than I am. I'm turning to the Lord today. I'm repenting of that. Is that your heart? You would tell the Lord that. I'm sorry that I have been spiritually lazy and my growth is stunted. I have not grown up in the Lord. I ought to be ministering to people. But I don't even have anything to say of substance because I've not been in the presence of God. And I don't know the Word. You know, all of that can change. God wants to grow you up more than you want to grow up. The Spirit is in you if you're a believer. He can grow you. He can teach you. And we can help. I encourage you, men, if you've not been leading your families, maybe it's time for a family meeting. Ladies, call the family together. Children, I've not been teaching you the things of God's Word. That stops now. I repent. I'm sorry. Our family's going to be about the things of God. Men, maybe you would say today, I have no idea what good theology is from bad theology, but I want to learn. You know, we can put together some classes on basic Christian theology for you. Whatever you need, hey, let's do it. But get in the Word and pray, and the Holy Spirit can help you. Amen? Now, if you're not a Christian today, you're just hanging out, man, we're so glad that you're here and that you're hearing the things of God. This message was really a message for believers, wasn't it? To grow up in the faith. But I want to tell you that Jesus died for sinners. And if you know you're a sinner, then that's good news. Right? Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. You're not going to call the doctor till you know you're sick, right? If you know you've got a problem, hey, Jesus, He can meet that need. Look to Him. Look and see what He did on the cross. Look not with these eyes, with the eyes of your heart. Hear the truth that God gave His Son up for you to die your death, to be judged for you, and to rise again to bring you to God. Believe. Repent. Be saved. Man, let's come before the Lord in prayer together. Would you bow with me? We just want to wait before God. Let Him cause some dry bones to come alive in this place. Do you have something you need to confess to the Lord this morning? Just you and Him right there in your heart. Have you been spiritually lazy? Have you let the things of God take a back seat to other things? The Word of God tells us this morning that path leads to falling away, to walking away from the faith. Is the Lord moving in your life today, showing you that He wants first place? Would you bow down? Bow the knee to the King of love. Look to Him this morning. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. God, Your Word brings encouragement, but it also cuts us down sometimes. And we thank You that You love us enough to speak bold truth to our souls. God, here we are in the presence of God. We don't want to stay the same, Lord. We don't want to stay in a state of spiritual immaturity. And we confess our need for You, God, to raise us up. I pray for those this morning who are saying that in their heart, that they want to grow up in the things of God. Show them what to do, Lord. Wrap Your arms around them. Give them that encouragement and that joy. Lord, I pray for everyone here who needs a Savior, who needs to know that their sins are forgiven. God, show them Christ right now. Show them the love of God displayed on the cross. Let them look to Jesus right now to see Him dying in their place, taking their judgment, and rising again to give victory forever. Father, I pray that You grant repentance and faith and grow us up.